In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the fathers of the First Ecumenical Council, and it's appropriate that today is also a secular commemoration of fathers, a day that we're asked to remember our fathers and to be grateful for all the things that they've done to us and let them know that we appreciate them. And so I think it's a good occasion for us to ponder the fifth commandment: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. As I've mentioned, there are two tables of the law, two tablets. The first table of the law had the first four commandments, which involved the first of the two great commandments that summarize those four commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And the second tablet contained those commandments that are summarized by thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The very first of those commandments is this commandment: to honor our parents. And it's because the very first neighbors that we have when we come into this world are our parents. They're the first people that we interact with. St. Augustine said, it's your parents you see when you first open your eyes, and it's their friendship that lays down the first strands of this life. If anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? St. Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain talked about four duties that children have to their parents: honor, love, obedience, and thanksgiving. He also speaks of six duties that parents have to their children, but I'll save that for another occasion. But the first one, honor. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, it says, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father. Revere could also be translated there fear, but it's not fear in the negative sense of dealing with someone whom you don't know what to make of. They're like a psychopath with a gun pointed to your head. It's fear in the sense of respect and awe. It's the kind of respect that we should have for God in the ultimate sense, but also to our parents to a lesser extent. The second one is to love. St. Philaret of Moscow goes into specifics in his catechism on this issue, and he talks about it in terms of our need to support and comfort our parents when they're old and when they're sick. Of all the people in the world, parents are the ones that should be the easiest for us to love. We're supposed to love everyone, but our parents should be the very first ones that we love, because they're the ones that have done the most for us in our life. And that's the reason why the law of Moses called for the death penalty for a child that struck or cursed his parents. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 15, it says, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And in verse 17, it says, and he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now, St. John Chrysostom, commenting on some of the harsh penalties that you find in the Old Testament, he said that the children of Israel were like small children. And when you're raising children and you're dealing with very small children, you can't reason with them. You don't expect as much as you do from older children, but you do expect certain things, and when they disobey what you tell them to do, you spank them. As they get older, you stop spanking, but you expect more from them. And those of us that are in the New Covenant, we should be able to expect a little bit more out of us than those in the Old Testament in terms of how we honor our parents. Number three, obedience. St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And St. John Chrysostom comments and says that he adds the phrase in the Lord because there's always the possibility that our parents could command us to do something that would be contrary to the will of God, and that we wouldn't do. That's one obedience that we don't owe our parents. He says, this he means to say is what God commands you. But what then if they shall command foolish things? Generally, a father, however foolish he may be, does not command foolish things. However, even in that case, the apostle has guarded the matter by saying, in the Lord. That is, wherever you will not be offending against God. So in other words, your parents may ask you to do something that you don't like, you don't agree with, but unless it's contrary to the law of God, you should obey them, particularly when you're under their household. But even as adults, we should try to do what our parents ask us to do. We still owe them respect. Although when we have the responsibility of a family, there's a few other things that we have to weigh in to put that equation. But certainly we owe them respect and obedience to the degree that we're able to give it. Four, thanksgiving. One way to think about any sin is to think about how we react when we see that sin in other people. For example, we know that being lazy is a sin because for one reason, just naturally written in our own hearts and minds, when we see someone else being lazy, we find that to be objectionable. Now, when we see ourselves being lazy, we make all kinds of excuses. But when we see it in other people, we don't see that as a good thing. And certainly when it comes to ingratitude, when we see ingratitude in other people, we despise it, particularly when it's directed towards ourselves, but also even when we see it directed towards other people because we think, well, gee, that person owed that person something, and look at how they treated them. Well, it's all the more true of our parents who have done so much and sacrificed so much for us. Shakespeare put into the words of King Lear very appropriate words. He says, "How sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child." And you don't really understand that until you have kids of your own fully. But we all, those of us that do have children, eventually come to that point. And when you look back on your life and how you treated your parents, you'll never feel like you did too much for them. You'll never regret that you spent too much time with them or that you did more for them. But you may regret that you didn't do enough. Also, St. Philaret of Moscow applies this commandment to how we should view our nation. Our nation, in a certain sense, gives birth to us, and we owe it our loyalty and our allegiance. It's a responsibility that we all have. We're not just people who are passing through this country. We live here. Our families live here. Our forefathers, in many cases, for most of us, have lived here. And we should want the best thing for this country. That doesn't mean that we approve of everything that our country does, but it does mean that we always have our country's best interest in mind, and we try to do whatever we can to be of aid and assistance to our country. St. Philaret also applies it to older people, and he cites Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. "Thou shalt rise up before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God." Those that are more senior than us, particularly very old people, deserve our respect. They're weaker at that age. They need more assistance. They've lived a long life, and generally they have a great deal of wisdom, and so we should want to listen to what they have to say, but we should go out of our way to show them our respect. He also applies it to our spiritual fathers, to the parish priests, of course, but also especially to our bishops. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, "Obey those who have the rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." But there's a second part of this commandment, and St. Paul points out that this is the first commandment that has a promise. After it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother," it says, "that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." The blessings that come to us when we honor our parents, when we show loyalty and respect to our country, when we respect those who are elderly, when we respect those who are in spiritual leadership over us, are well summarized by the book of Ecclesiasticus in chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. "Hear me, your father, O children, and do thereafter, that ye may be safe. For the Lord hath given the father honor over the children, and hath confirmed the authority of the mother over the sons. Whoso honoreth his father maketh an atonement for his sins. And he that honoreth his mother is as one that layeth up treasure. Whoso honoreth his father shall have joy of his own children. And when he maketh his prayer, he shall be heard. He that honoreth his father shall have a long life. And he that is obedient unto the Lord shall be a comfort to his mother. He that feareth the Lord will honor his father and will do service unto his parents as to his masters. Honor thy father and mother both in word and in deed, that a blessing may come upon thee from them. For the blessing of the father establisheth the house of children, but the curse of the mother rooteth up foundations. Glory not in the dishonor of thy father, for thy father's dishonor is no glory unto thee. For the glory of a man is from the honor of his father, and a mother in dishonor is a reproach to the children. My son, help thy father in his age, and grieve him not as long as he liveth. And if his understanding fail, have patience with him, and despise him not when thou art in thy full strength. For the relieving of thy father shall not be forgotten, and instead of sins, it shall be added to build thee up In the day of thine affliction it shall be remembered. Thy sins also shall melt away as the ice in the fair warm weather. Amen.